This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Here's my question. If a red flag is raised about somebody either coming into the country or somebody who is already here with an ISIS connection, what do you do about it? If you're the authorities, what do you do about it? Because that person may not actually have broken any law. And once you start to follow them, when do you stop? I do see the authorities' dilemma here.
There is a dilemma, but think about it in terms of common crime. If there are some bank robbers out there plotting to do a bank raid, you don't wait until they're in the branch of the bank holding guns at the bank, at the customers in the branch. You know, if you've got derogatory, it's called derogatory information on an individual, then you've got to surveil them. And these are the things that the NYPD, for example, has put in place. There are amazing human intelligence, human programs that help us to identify these people before they go violent. Unfortunately, these are the kinds of programs this administration, Mayor de Blasio, doesn't like.
That's the politics, isn't it, Sebastian?
Right.
I mean, maybe you don't want to politicize national security, but in this case, it is politicized.
Look, I have been told by senior agents that when they're surveilling an individual who is suspect here in America, if he goes in the direction of a mosque, they have to make a decision. They have to switch off the mic, switch off the video, because they may get in trouble themselves because their superiors say, you can't do that. Well, you don't look for jihadists inside Episcopalian barbecue tents, right? You look for them in mosques, and we have to be honest about that.
It's not funny. It's very serious. And I shouldn't be laughing.
Yeah, I mean, it is not funny. It is very serious. And this is why, you know, you might want to call it Flyover America, you know, Reasonable America, Scott, you know, that hears about this stuff and just say, are you kidding me? No wonder our national security is compromised. Everything that has to do with defending this country, rules of engagement. I mean, it's along this same type of stinking thinking that goes on that nobody is calling them out except, oh, yeah, one Donald Trump, who, you know, wants to bring reason into this. And what Dr. Gorka is talking about, I mean, you know, he's been on with us, you know, many times, and he just is amazed, as we are all amazed, when we realize the way operations are being done, especially as it relates to Muslims, because we don't want to offend them. But meanwhile, We keep having problems, and we have to qualify every time we talk about, you know, Muslims. Then we have to say, well, we don't mean every Muslim. Well, of course we don't mean every Muslim, but if there is a pattern here, then you've got to follow the pattern, don't you? Doesn't it make sense?
Perfectly. You got to use judgment. You got to use your judgment. And not following a reasonable line, a decent line of reasoning, that's not good judgment.
Well, no, it's not. And then what does it do, you know, to the police officers, law enforcement, and that? It's tying up their hands, you know, just along the same way. I mean, like with, you know, like I said, the rules of engagement with our military, you know, causes them to take pause and to use their, and not use their better judgment in checking this out. Because, you know, as Dr. Gorka pointed out in his communication with senior agents, they're saying, look, they're getting in trouble here. Wait a minute, they're getting in trouble for protecting us? You know, what's wrong with this picture? Because, you know, we don't want to offend somebody? Well, you know, last time I checked, I think having your head lopped off, that's pretty offensive, isn't it?
I feel that would be the most offensive thing.
I'm just saying. And look at, you know, I see this happening in certain areas where Muslims are proactive in understanding they need to get on board here. You know, this is America. You want to live here in America? We have what we call the rule of law and the U.S. Constitution. Now, deep down inside, you know, you may want Sharia law, but that doesn't operate here. And unless things change, we're still governed by the U.S. Constitution. This is what it's all about. And to take advantage of the rights and the privileges that exist here in America, and us to allow them to do that, puts us all under threat. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. Good to have you along with us. Just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Investment Rarities, a 43-year-old company, has created the best silver offer ever. Get a U.S. Silver Eagle, Canadian Maple Leaf, Austrian Philharmonic, OPM Pierre Bar, and Silver Round. Have all five for $99 postpaid. You heard me right, 5 ounces of silver below cost. No credit card fees, free shipping. Just $99 and you'll have a great start on what it takes to survive even the worst economic storm. Act now and receive Jim Cook's exclusive paper explaining how it's possible to make a fortune in silver today. Don't miss this opportunity. Call 800-328-1860. Read how the above-ground supply of silver has dropped below even gold. The secret is being suppressed. The price could explode at any time. Call today at 800-328-1860. Get 5 ounces of silver for only $99. Find them on the web at investmentrarities.com or call 800-328-1860. Call now before it's too late. 800-328-1860.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, hello, America, overlooking the Atlantic Ocean on the East Coast. It's Bill Martinez coming to you live. Great to have you along with us for the ride. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. Plethora of information there awaits you, along with former interviews that I know will be of interest. You can download them and listen while you're exercising. Put them down as your own personal podcast. Our gift to you. Well, the conservative justice reform advocates are reacting to a new FBI crime report. The trends point to decrease in nonviolent and property crime. And here to help us understand what is going on is Mark Levin. He's a policy director of Right on Crime and director of the Center for Effective Justice at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Mark, thank you for joining us this morning. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Well, important that our people understand, you know, what is going on with this new FBI crime report. What is it telling us?
Well, basically, we did see a uptick in certain violent crimes, including murder and homicide, and it was particularly focused on certain cities. So, for example, half of the murder increase was in Chicago. Mm. But and then you also have Baltimore, for example, a real problem there. Property crime, as you mentioned, decline. In fact, property crime is now the lowest it's been since 1967. And violent crime, I mean, obviously it was slightly higher than last year, but it's still, this is one of the lowest years since 1973. So it's still, by historical standards, quite low. But obviously, if anyone who's, you know, who's a family member or loved one was affected by a murder or rape, you know, it is simply tragic. So we need to kind of focus on what we can do to get violent crime coming down again.
Well, you know, the report also shows that there's a continuing decrease, to your point, in nonviolent, what they determine to be nonviolent, and property crime. Pull that out. What are they saying by that? What is it telling us?
Right. So we're basically, when we're talking about FBI index crime, we're talking about violent and property crime. So we're not talking about drug possession or DWI. So in the area of nonviolent property crimes, we're looking at things like stolen vehicles. We're looking at, obviously, a break into your home if nobody's home would be considered generally a burglary. Of course, if someone's home, that's robbery, which is, you know, a different matter. I think part of the reason we've seen declines in nonviolent crime is that we have more cameras now. We have people are aware that if they, you know, steal something, they're likely to be on it's likely to be recorded, and there's a better chance they may be caught. You know, I think part of what we have to deal with is this opioid epidemic, because some of the crimes we do see are affected by people either who are in the unable to make decisions in a reasonable way because they're under the influence of drugs, or they're stealing money to get drugs.
Well, speaking of the impact of drugs on the culture, where are we with that? I mean, you know, you bring up a good point. Opiate use dramatically on the increase, and, you know, you've got these drug users. They just need the money to take care of their habit. They're not looking necessarily to commit a crime other than, you know, what we would categorize as a nonviolent or a property crime, right?
That's absolutely correct. And so I think there's a huge need for more treatment. Drug courts are that really are incredibly effective. And is accountable on a regular basis to that judge as far as attending treatment and reporting to their probation officer and so forth. And they're now pharmaceutical treatment, actually non-narcotic injections someone can get, or a pill they can take that blocks receptors in the brain that are activated by heroin and other opiates. And those have had tremendous success rates. So there's definitely a lot of things we are doing. It's just a number of times people get into treatment until it's too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and by then, you know, then they're involved with the law. You know, life becomes complicated, and you've got two paths. You've got to satisfy, you know, your responsibility in breaking the law and accountability there. And the other part is then you got to take care of yourself and your health, right?
No, that's absolutely true. And so, you know, I think the we need to give law enforcement and the justice system more tools, including, you know, the ability to get people into treatment programs as soon as possible, even so they don't sit in the local jail because they can't bail out, where they're not getting any treatment and really getting introduced to more hardened criminals. So a lot of states are doing things that are really positive in this regard. We in Texas at the forefront of criminal justice reform, which I tell people involves making sure we're locking up the people we're afraid of, not those we're mad at. We're not kind of like some of the people on the far left who think, you know, we don't need anyone in prison. But on the other hand, we want to prioritize our prison beds for people that are truly a danger to the public. So, for example, in Texas, our crime rate has gone down 29% since we started down this path of
Hey, Mark, we're having a tough time here. I don't know if you're on a remote here or, you know, we're having some technical difficulties with our connection. Scott, can you help us out here? Is there something on my end here? Okay, all right, we're going to reconnect with Mark here because it's breaking up suddenly, and I want to make sure that you're hearing all that he's reporting on, especially for this next question that we wanted to get into. You know, I think that's great with the experience that they're demonstrating there with a great reduction, and looks like they're moving things in a positive nature there in Texas. But I want to talk about the impact, you know, and certainly what's happening on the national scale relevant to, you know, the whole justice system and what some are, you know, complaining about in terms of, you know, in terms of the sentencing and that sort of thing being so unfair and almost systemic and, you know, going particularly against, you know, Black America. And we're waiting to reconnect with Mark. Mark Levin is a director of the Center for Effective Justice at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Mark, sorry for the breakup there. I just wanted to make sure people could understand because suddenly we were starting to get a lot of interruption here with, when we were talking. So, if we can, let's pick it up where we left off relevant to what you're seeing there in Texas, Mark.
Sure. Well, basically what we were faced with a situation back in 2007 where the projection was we would need to build 17,000 more prison beds. And what we said is let's make sure we're locking up the people who are dangerous but let's find more alternatives like drug courts for nonviolent offenders. And we did that, and our crime rate is down 29%, and we've closed three prisons. So that's the kind of, I would say, tough and smart reforms, recognizing some people do need to be incarcerated, but kind of making sure we, for people that can be rehabilitated in the community, low-level drug offenders, for example, that we're getting them into things like drug courts to turn their life around and get them in the workforce.
Exactly.
Taking care of their family.
Yeah, and that's what we're finding out as well, Mark, with other research, is that definitely want to hold them accountable, but if we can keep them still connected to the families, the results greatly improve when that happens. Mark Levin is with us, the director of the Center for Effective Justice at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. We got more from Mark on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. It's just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
It started at Bunkle Night. A little tickle in my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Give the gift of opportunity. Donate to The Y at ymca.net/give. The Y, for a better us.
You are what you eat? No, not true. You are what you can't absorb, because not absorbing nutrition leads to nutritional deficiency and degenerative diseases. Medication does not fix nutritional deficiencies, and North American soil is now 85% nutritionally depleted. That means your body is not getting the vitamins it needs from just grown foods. Introducing Protovite, the world's first and only full-spectrum protosomal supplement. Protovite is a proprietary liquid system that allows premium-quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. That's rapid absorption. Then Protovite liquid continues to release sustained nutrition in the stomach, intestines, and colon over a prolonged period of time. See Protovite in action. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video today at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Or call 502-410-3411. 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of the lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries. Aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
We'll be right back. getting America back on track.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Wall.
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day. 3 hours coming your way. 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 19 minutes after the top of the hour. We're talking with Mark Levin. Mark is responding to the new FBI crime report, trends point to decrease in nonviolent and property crime. But we still have a increase happening with violent crime. Mark, in terms of, what has been discussed nationally is that there is a systemic issue with our justice system, and it seems to be targeted more toward Black America if you listen to Black Lives Matter. Can you break that down and bring some clarity and understanding as to what is going on there?
Sure. Well, I think that it's such a complex issue. I mean, the reality is, of course, it is true that African Americans commit a disproportionate share of the crimes. I think what you have to do is first distinguish between crimes with a victim, like violent and property crimes and drug crimes, drug possession in particular, because, you know, there is a lot of data showing that, for example, for marijuana, all races use it in the same amount, but Blacks are much more likely to be arrested. Now, the main reason for that, I think, is police are more likely to be in those neighborhoods, which is actually a good thing because those have the higher rates of more serious crimes. But that you know, is a legitimate issue. But when you have crimes with a victim, I mean, those aren't affected in terms of whether there's police there or not. There's actually someone committed those crimes. And now, you know, what we've seen as far as the research on, for example, officer-involved shootings and officer-involved violence is that there was the study that came out from Harvard a couple months ago, which found there was not a higher rate of African Americans relative to their numbers at which they're arrested as far as fatal shootings, but there was a higher rate of excessive force incidents, but not fatal shootings. So it was kind of a mixed finding. Certainly, I mean, regardless of what the exact numbers are, there's a lot we can do in terms of training law enforcement and de-escalation, and I would say minimizing unnecessary police citizen involvement. And I'll give you an example. Like in Ferguson, Missouri, there were an average of 3 warrants per household, and most of those were for very minor things. There was a woman who had a warrant for an overgrown lawn, and so that shouldn't be a crime to begin with, and we don't need cops banging her door down. So that's kind of what we need to look at, I think.
Well, you bring up a good point here, Mark. I mean, you get a degree of perception being reality, but also you got reality being reality. I mean, if people are being harassed for simple things, you know, like an overgrown lawn and things like that, it is an overreach, and then it just adds to the unfair perception, doesn't it?
Yeah, and one of my biggest concerns is that if there's this distrust between the community and law enforcement, and you have all these people with these warrants because they simply can't afford to pay a traffic fine or a city code violation, then they're not going to report in many cases, the more serious crimes to police because they themselves have a warrant and they're frankly distrustful of police. So this is a real crisis we need to address. The police can't be everywhere. So the citizenry has to be the eyes and ears, and you have to have citizens who are going to report serious crimes to police.
Well, Mark, this is, an untenable situation. I mean, this is kind of lose-lose. I mean, this is a loss for law enforcement. It's a loss for the local community. Is it any wonder that we find ourselves in situations where if anything happens in the community, right, wrong, or indifferent, we've got people protesting, buildings being, turned upside down. And this is what we've maintained is, we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And we just can't say that people are frustrated. We need to ask the question, why are we getting these demonstrations? Why are people saying that things are unfair here?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a responsibility on both sides. Obviously, violence and rioting is you know, people have a right to peacefully protest, but when it crosses over to damaging property and such, it's totally unacceptable. But as you said, we do also have to look at why this is, and as with most things, you know, there's some merit to it, but there's also some, you know, perception that on the part of some people that all cops are racist and so forth. So, you know, but the good news is there are really things that can be done to try to bridge the gap between police and the community. Certainly getting police out on foot patrol. There was a new study by the Charles Koch Institute on how foot patrol really helps get police out of their cars and start talking to people, go to community meetings, find out what the concerns of that particular area are. And I think that's very helpful.
Well, Mark, sociologically, we were warned that this would happen. I mean, with the increase in technology, you know, we're in a high-tech, high-touch type of culture right now because of the level of technology. John Naismith, in his book Megatrends, cited this, and it seems that different areas, particularly of law enforcement, have to awaken to the fact that people don't want to be perceived as a number. And if they are, then you get this kind of pushback that's happening. For me, it's not surprising that people are rather bothered by this, and so and it's not surprising that you know, that we're finding encouraging results when police are interacting and they're building a relationship with their local communities. I mean, they have to understand and appreciate that it's a partnership that goes hand in glove. You know, just to your point, if people have violated and they're on notice, or you know, waiting to be arrested or have a conversation with police, they're going to be reticent to make any report. And, watching over your neighborhood is a partnership of, you know, local people there in the community as well as law enforcement working together. You know, as you and I were talking before, you know, we haven't addressed crime since 1994 with the crime bill. And you'd mentioned there's pending legislation in Congress. And whether or not we will see anything done in this lame duck session, we'll have to wait and see. But clearly something needs to happen here, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, on the police thing, one of the main issues is really, I think, making sure that you hire the right people to be cops. Not everyone's cut out to be a cop. If you have a hairpin trigger, you know, and kind of a macho complex, you know, there was the Sandra Bland case in Texas, this black woman who was arrested for failing to signal or something, and the officer kept saying, "I'm going to light you up," and he was escalating the situation, and she ended up committing suicide in jail. But, you know, the these officers, you know, you have to make sure. Sometimes these police union contracts are a big problem because it makes it virtually impossible to discipline those handful of cops. Again, the vast majority of cops do a great job. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the key issues. Now, as far as the federal action, we are hopeful that in a lame duck session of Congress, Speaker Ryan will be able to move forward a set of bills in the House that I think is very good. It does a few different things as far as expanding kind of what's called the safety valve, which enables for a low-level drug possession case someone to receive a slightly lower sentence, so maybe 10 years in federal prison instead of 12. Mm-hmm. And we've had kind of a disproportionate situation where some of these rapists and serious violent criminals are serving shorter terms than low-level drug cases. So, but it would also deal with rehabilitation, creating incentives for inmates to participate in rehabilitation programs. And one of the key issues, which unfortunately President Obama and some of the liberal Democrats are opposing, but a default mens rea provision, which means that if a federal crime, and there's now over 4,500 federal crimes, but this says if a federal crime does not provide for a culpable mental state and intent requirement, then this default provision would kick in that says you at least have to have some knowledge that what you're doing is generally against the law in order to be a criminal. We've had situations, for example, where the EPA arrested this janitor in a nursing home because I mean, he had no idea, but it turns out the water wasn't going out the right way. And he had no idea it was a federal crime. These are really good ideas. And as you said, the Judiciary Committee has passed out this, Chairman Goodlatte. The problem is a number of the rank and file members just need to be educated on the need for this reform.
Yeah, I think that's the bottom line, isn't it, Mark, that they need to be educated and get beyond letting their staff read it and get involved. They need to get involved directly. Mark Levin, Director of the Center for Effective Justice at Texas Public Policy Foundation. Mark, thank you so much for being with us. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
I grew up in a family with 9 kids. I must have been the fastest eater because I was the only one that was chubby. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. When I was growing up, almost no one was overweight. I've maintained my weight pretty well since then. As I get older, the 10-2-1-2 weight loss system is making it much easier to control my weight. It curbs my appetite, gives me energy, and even improves my mood. Maybe 10-2-1-2 could help you. Go to ilikethewayilook.com and check it out for yourself. That's ilikethewayilook.com.
It started at Bunko Night. A little tickle my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Ealy. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9256. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9256. Call 1-800-958-9256. 1-800-958-9256.
You've reached Bill Martinez live.
Easy to work. Up antenna. Switch on. Press talk button. And you broadcast from room to room. And even house to house.
For Spanish, press 2.
Porque todos cuentan en el formulario del censo, especialmente los niños. Así ayudas a que tengamos más cosas en nuestra comunidad, como centros de cuidado, escuelas y más.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, Cape and all, you know I'm out of the phone booth. Why not? Let's have a lot of fun here. Hey, it's Bill Martinez with you, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bishop Aubrey Shines is with us right now. He's the founder of Glory to Glory Ministries, located in the inner city of both Tampa and Orlando, Florida. You know, I keep teasing Pastor Shines because I say, well, you know, we're going to get together sooner or later. For some reason, we're just having a little bit of an opportunity getting our schedules together. And, you know, and I don't know. I mean, I'm just going to have to just camp out there. I think that's all there is to it.
Hey, I just want your audience to know that's my line. Bill just...
Well, because, you see, when you have control of the microphone and you're the first one, you can get away with it, right?
I say that on my pulpit all the time. I say things and I say, well, I have control of the mic, so there you go.
That's right. Yeah. Well, Aubrey, I wanted to talk to you about... what is happening right now with this race between Hillary and Donald Trump. We have had round one of the debates. If your perception and heart is toward Donald Trump, he won the debate, backed by many polls. And if your heart is toward Hillary Clinton, then she wiped Donald Trump all over the floor. People are wondering, going, what debate were you watching? But it just adds to the clarity that there is a divide in this country, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, it really does, Bill. And I tell you what really goes further, and I said this on several shows in the last 24 hours, and that's this. The way you know who's winning is who is fighting a certain kind of way. It is obvious that Hillary is coming unglued here. Her party is coming unglued. And one of the indicators is very, very simple. When you begin to have blacks in America, for instance, where they are polling almost 20% saying they're going to vote for Donald Trump, they are coming unhinged. You have a sitting president that's going out saying, look, if you vote for Hillary or don't vote for Hillary, I'm going to lose my legacy. Well, yeah. I usually, Bill, never quote Louis Farrakhan, even though I did yesterday when I was doing a show out of Chicago, the largest show there. Even Louis Farrakhan is now coming out saying, and I'm quoting Farrakhan, unfortunately, it's as weird as this may sound, that this president has done nothing for especially the black community. The only thing that he has done, according to Louis Farrakhan, is pushed a homosexual agenda. And he then goes on to kind of ream Hillary Clinton as someone who is very wicked and someone who does not deserve the black vote. These are indicators, Bill, and as I've been saying, on some shows very recently, when you have a sitting president, and under that president, you now have almost 9% higher unemployment in the black community, 60% almost increase of food stamps, and 20% of blacks are no longer even looking for work, $20,000 less in the household medium income with blacks compared to their white or Asian counterpart. Blacks, no matter what the major media outlets are telling them, they're understanding something for the first time. And Bill, Donald Trump is finally resonating with individuals unlike any other GOP that we have seen, at least in my time, with even black America. I think the DNC is in a little trouble here.
Well, yeah, it's a sheer panic. I mean, you can tell. I mean, at every turn, they want to throw up the race card. And I got to tell you, I was disappointed with Lester Holt playing into the hands of this. I don't know why. I just want to think differently of, particularly when you're in a moderator position. And, you know, we're finding out that Hillary had access to the questions prior. That's problematic. But, you know, to make a big issue on this birther deal and to waste our time on this, I mean, Donald Trump has addressed it. Hillary Clinton, when it's something that, you know, has happened in the past, she says, that's too old. Let's move on. But yet something like this, you know, this is a total race card issue that they want to throw out there. People are going to believe what they want to believe. And what we've said on this show is you have to remember, relevant to the birth certificate that is on the government website, who presented that?
Well, not only that, let's go further, Bill. If you remember, and I'm sure you do, it wasn't, by the way, Donald Trump that brought this up. And technically, even though Hillary's camp did when she was running against him, it goes back even a little further. And one would only have to do research to look at Barack's book. In his original draft in the book, he is the one.
Yes, that said, exactly.
I was born in Kenya.
Yes.
So, again, for Lester Holt, you look, my friend, I already knew going in, and those of us like myself that's been trained in debate, here's the reality. I don't care if a moderator is against me, and which is unfair, and it shouldn't be that way. Donald Trump, next go round, I guarantee you he'll be even more prepared. By the way, I do think he won the debate, but I think that he'll be able to take away from a moderator who, even like Candy Crowley, will side with a particular candidate because they're pushing their agenda. Here's the bottom line, though, Bill. If you look at the polls, obviously, she is outspending Donald Trump almost 3-1, and it's not working.
Yes.
It gives you an indication that social media, shows like yours, videos like we produce, they are making an impact. And as a result of it, I believe we're going to finally see the DNC break its stronghold, especially on the black populace here in America. I really do believe that.
Well, I think Donald Trump is resonating just by being reasonable and putting the facts before black America. And also, you know, you want to say, you know, people of color, you know, Hispanics, that sort of everything. Yeah. And it's that old question that Ronald Reagan asked of the Carter era. Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? You know, also, you know, going into Black America, which, the RNC up to Donald Trump, they were afraid to go into those combat zones. And Donald Trump goes there and says, what have you got to lose? I mean, just that question alone has people pondering. It's a great question.
Yeah, Bill, it's an excellent question. Again, when blacks realize that even in Chicago, when you got 3,000 that's been shot already in the calendar, this calendar year, several hundred that have died, those are not police officers doing that. Mm-hmm. That's black-on-black crime. And so they're feeling the pinch. They understand they're making $4,000 less than they did under any other president. When they begin to feel the pinch, it's almost like someone pouring water on their head and telling them, you're not really getting wet. Things are really, really going really well here. Well, you know, people are just, you know, maybe they were born yesterday, but not early yesterday. People are awakening to this. And Bill, I hope you don't mind me just saying, I recently released a video. As a matter of fact,
I was going to ask you about the video. So I'm glad you're transitioning to that. Yes.
Well, I appreciate you doing it. That video is being released today. We have had literally 50-plus stations asking, and GOP guys that are calling about it. We released a video about Hillary Clinton. If you guys go out on my Facebook or just go on your Facebook and just put in my name, Aubrey Shines, it'll be the Hillary video that's out there. It's only 4 minutes long. We are addressing the DNC, who Hillary is, the party she belongs to, who Saul Alinsky is, who Margaret Sanger is, and we're doing it, Bill, in a four-minute pop. And
wow.
I'm telling you, my friend, it has been the most exciting piece we've ever put together, and it is resonating. We have already, just in a matter of a few hours, hundreds of thousands of people have already connected, going, oh, my God, where has this information been? It's just that hot. So please consider you taking a look at it, Bill.
We're gonna link it. Yeah, we're gonna link it on our site as well, Aubrey, if that's okay with you.
Oh, I would love for it to happen. Absolutely.
Well, Donald Trump said the inner cities, he characterized the inner cities as war zones. It's a living hell for Hispanics as well as Black America. And the DNC is absolutely having one big humongous conniption fit over that, aren't they?
And this is why Black and Latinos are coming together during this election, and they're not going to allow some narrative to be given to them that this guy is a bigot. No, he loves America. He's trying to make it safe. We need jobs in America. We need our Constitution to be respected in America. This is why we do the work, Bill, that we do.
Well, we saw what happened in Europe with Brexit. That was foretelling because we know it travels east to west, and the mainstream media is having a hard time understanding what's happening at the grassroots, but not for you, Aubrey Shines.
No, and I tell you, Donald Trump called it, did he not? He called it that Brexit would separate, even when our president was trying to make it happen. This is why, forgive me for flattering you, I hope it doesn't come up that way. Bill, you're doing a great job, man. I just only hope and pray that your base even expands more, because shows
exactly.
like yours give us real voice.
Thank you. Aubrey Shines, I'm Bill Martinez.
Ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
This report is brought to you by the National Endowment for Financial Education. Parents Magazine and the National Endowment for Financial Education have issued a joint survey to learn how millennial-age parents are preparing for their financial futures. The millennial generation is struggling with more than just debt. They're delaying life goals like starting families and buying homes. Paul Golden, director of SmartAboutMoney.org, elaborates.
51% of the survey respondents say that they would trade in a year off their life for a greater sense of financial security. 2 in 5 of millennial age parents say that they are unsatisfied with the quality of their financial life.
David Sparrow of Parents Magazine.
Millennial parents need to attack their debt. And we believe in starting with your smallest debt first, paying that off, and building momentum.
For more tips on managing your finances, visit smartaboutmoney.org/family. or parents.com/family finances.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Are the answers to your present and future hidden in your past? Akashic readings help you learn to unlock the answers for love, finances, weight loss, self-esteem, confusion, grief and loss, and more. Akashic email readings by Dr. Kelly Maroon, Ph.D. are specially priced right now. Learn more at Dr. Kelly Maroon's website, akashicuniversal.com, spelled AKASHICUniversal.com. Change your life today. Become one with your true path with intention on purpose. Visit akashicuniversal.com.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Welcome back, America. Good to have you along with us. This is Bill Martinez, just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour. And James Erson, it is his time. New York Times best-selling author, commentator, media analyst, law professor, and, and secret debate watcher, huh?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. There was a gathering of people who are right of center in Hollywood who sort of support each other mm-hmm. and work in the entertainment industry, watching debate together. And it was interesting because you have a different effect when you're sitting. You hear the crowd reaction. But not all of the crowd was pro-Donald Trump, of course, because this was because people right of center are not all pro-Donald Trump. Uh-huh. So there were some interesting reactions. But it did underscore something as I was watching and observing and looking at the psychological aspect of the communication of the debate when you see it on TV, and how wrong the so-called experts have been about Donald Trump through this entire electoral season, and they're wrong again. It's fascinating to me. If you recall, during the GOP primary debate, after every single debate, there were experts that said that Donald Trump was finished.
Yes.
Because he had done things that were unprecedented. He had spoken in a way that was totally unprecedented, that no one had ever done. And they were wrong each time. As a matter of fact, not only were they were wrong 180 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason is because of the way people perceive television. We go back to the Kennedy-Nixon debates where people listened to it on the radio and thought, that Nixon had won, and people who watched on TV overwhelmingly thought Nixon had lost and Kennedy had won. It's the perception of Hillary Clinton. You know, if you look at her content, the content was good. She was well prepared. For the most part, she stayed poised. But on her face was this artificial grin. And when she attacked, she had a look of a condescending, vicious look. Mm-hmm. It's not, it wasn't attractive. It wasn't something that would make people like her. And it wasn't something that would make people trust her. Mm-hmm. She doesn't, as a matter of fact, she appeared robotic at times.
Yes, exactly.
Whereas Donald Trump, which, you know, I think this pre-debate story that had leaked from the Trump campaign that he had not prepared, I think was false. Mm-hmm. Because I do think he prepared, but he prepared for something that was more important than the content. And that was he had to prepare to have restraint. His goal was to survive the first debate standing without a disaster.
Right.
He had to debate two people. Because he wasn't just debating Hillary Clinton. He was debating Lester Holt.
Yes, exactly. He didn't he?
Oh, the numbers are staggering. You know, yeah. Lester Holt, the biggest thing is Lester Holt asked six follow-up questions to Donald Trump, interrupting him at the time, following up something that Trump had said, and zero follow-up questions to Hillary Clinton, letting her get away with prevarication after prevarication, with generalities, with no specifics, and no questions were asked about a whole list.
Yeah,
of
Benghazi,
things.
Her emails, I mean, on and on.
The Clinton Foundation.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just disgraceful. Mm-hmm. And to bring up birtherism.
I know. And Donald Trump, you know, went after that. I mean, that was like chum bait. He just should have let it sit on the water. He didn't need to attack it.
Well, yeah. And that, but when you look at the as a whole, Donald Trump has to debate Lester Holt and Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Donald Trump has to restrain his normal inclinations. And what it could have been a massive disaster if Trump hadn't shown the restraint that he showed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he definitely left a lot of things on the table. Two important things were when Lester Holt asked Hillary Clinton a question about cybersecurity, and Hillary Clinton has the audacity to answer that question as if she has this grave concern over cybersecurity.
Yes.
When she is the biggest violator of national security classified information in the history of the country, and Trump did not address that. The other one, of course, was the where Hillary Clinton mentioned the 11 hours of testimony that she gave in front of Congress to prove her stamina. Now,
yes,
in both of those cases, it may be that Trump was avoiding a gotcha moment because that could have been bait for Trump to attack. And then Hillary was ready with a zinger. I think that's very possible. But the issues were brought up later in the debate anyway. Both of those issues were brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And so overall, on the issue of whether or not this was an effective debate in the election campaign, Trump wins overwhelmingly. He won every online poll that's out there, like 20 of them, the snap polls. There was a group of undecided Democrats in Pennsylvania in a bar. In today's New York Post, a reporter was there. The whole lot of them became Trump supporters from watching this debate. When Trump launched the one-liners, they were like tweets. They were classic one-liners.
Right.
They were so easy to understand. Hillary Clinton has lots of experience, but it's bad experience.
Yes, exactly.
Things like that, and those are the things we talked about, you know, last week. Those are the things that are digitally reproduced in the social media millions of times, and that in the end, this is the same as the primary. The Donald Trump that the Beltway doesn't understand is the Donald Trump that won this debate. There are some people, USA Today had a columnist today, who said that all Donald Trump had to do was a pure presidential. He did that. He wins.
Yes.
Krauthammer said if he survived, if he stood and survived for 90 minutes with a professional politician, he won. Now, those are, you know, ignoring the powerful sound bites that Donald Trump have. You know, when Hillary Clinton talked about the low taxes or no taxes that he may pay, in between her sentences, Donald Trump, "That makes me smart," he said.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it was so quick. He said it quickly, got it in. Where I was, there was this crowd reaction. It's the kind of crowd reaction you would have at a sporting event. They started cheering. And these little sound blasts that came out of Trump's mouth were a choice. And we've never, ever seen a candidate who has the capability of doing that.
Well, yeah, I mean, and the thing I got to tell you, James, on some of these, you know, comebacks and that, you know, and of course, when you're in the heat of battle, and this is the first time you're doing this, you're running for the highest office in the land, you're not a politician, your ability to articulate, I mean, he's not Newt Gingrich, but you just know that he's going to come across with a zinger and something that's going to stand her up, and I've been saying all along, he needs something like Reagan's "There You Go Again," you know, kind of thing.
Well, he had a bunch of them. Even his response to Hillary's tired line that she admits making a mistake with the private server and what she did in relation to that, and Trump says, "That was no mistake, Secretary Clinton. That was on purpose." You know, I wanted him to say the word "bleach bit."
Yes,
but
right.
He didn't say that.
Right.
But he did say, and the other, you know, he had a line there when she wanted him to release his tax records. He says, "You know, I'll go against my lawyers.
Yes,
and
I like
release
that.
My tax records in exchange for you releasing your 33,000 emails." That drew a cheer from the crowd I was with.
Yes.
Those are the kind, they're brief, they're easy to understand. They're powerful. They're made for the social media. He had, especially in the first hour, he probably had 15 lines like that.
Yeah. Hey, James, why doesn't he call him out for, you know, I mean, Lester Holt was like a dog on a bone over this, you know, birther issue. I think Trump needs to come back and look at Lester or anybody else for that matter and just say, "What are you calling me a racist? Because I'm. You know, trying to secure the rule of law? Is that what you're telling me?" I mean, because that's really what they're doing. If they got called out for it, you watch them back off.
Well,
because
he slammed Lester once over something. I where Lester was interrupting him and doing a follow up. But if that was one of those questions that we talked about, where he didn't just ask one question, he interrupted Trump and challenged him. Similarly to the Trump stand on the war in Iraq, he challenged him, and that was preconditioned by the Clinton campaign by calling for Lester Holt to be a fact checker.
Yes,
which he was only with one candidate, which is the impression that the Clinton campaign wanted to leave, that there was only one candidate who needs fact checking. The audacity of those people is amazing. The most untrustworthy candidate in the history of the country wants fact checking. I mean, it's just it's astounding. But
it's the way it always works, James. And we've got two more presidential debates sandwiched in between the vice presidential debate coming up on October the 4th, the second presidential debate on the 9th, and then the final one with Chris Wallace on October the 19th in Las Vegas.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you?
I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
ProPure.